good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this Monday morning. This is the 24th day of February. As a matter of fact, this is the last Monday of this month, believe it or not. This month is almost over.
I'm good with that.
Are you good with that? You're glad to see the snow and the flooding gone for February, huh?
I enjoy December and Christmas. Yeah. And I want to put January, February into the rearview mirror.
I got you.
And,
I got you.
Let March and April start to roll in. That's my
ready
attention.
For spring.
Now I celebrate all the seasons, but January, February in New England kind of stretch to June, and so I'm good as soon as we can turn the corner. I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
That works for me.
We're gonna have some pretty nice weather this week. So
there you go. I love it when you can walk outside and just feel that sunshine on your face.
Oh, it feels good.
It does.
I don't care what anybody says. The older you get, the better it feels.
That's right.
You know, I used to take cold weather pretty well, but since I've got a little older, I don't like it quite as well as I used to. So,
I think Joe and I, we probably had just about a bucket full of it, and I think we're good. Well, I think we've got enough in our
that's
in
enough
our experience.
To kick our Yankee blood in for just a little bit. Actually, I'm not sure you're really any hardier if you are from the North. You just learn how to dress more.
Well, I was talking to a guy yesterday. He's working out
clothes
on construction. He said, you know, he's working out in this cold weather. And I said, well, would you rather work in the teens or in the 90-degree humidity? And he said, well, I can keep putting clothes on for the teens.
Yeah, the humidity is not much you can do, but that's a little ways ahead, hopefully.
No, we've got time. We've got a beautiful spring coming, and we got lots to look forward to. Today, we're going to do a really weird subject, and so I'll just go ahead and put that out there in front. We're going to talk about Jesus cleansing the temple, which has always been used as a mechanism by which we say, well, then we don't do any kind of money handling in the church. You don't have bake sales or whatever else, and yet we all have bake sales and whatever else. And so the question becomes, well, what is the correct way for the church to handle money? And then past that, what's the correct way for those ministries that are not the church to handle money? And these are important questions because the support of God's ministries is a critical element of worship. And so I want to dive into that today. We're going to do some cleansing today with the temple.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's word in 60 seconds. The Bible says in Ephesians 1, 4 through 6, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for the adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. Many years ago, a concrete statue in Bangkok sat neglected and collecting trash for those who walked by. When a Buddhist priest decided to move it to his temple, the statue cracked and revealed an astonishing secret. Beneath its plain exterior stood an 8-foot-tall, solid gold figure. You are valuable. God sent his only son to die in your place. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's word in 60 seconds. Remember, the world needs King Jesus.
It has blessed me more than I can express. The encouragement it brings, it's like water. It's like oxygen for the soul.
100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
And welcome back to the front porch here on Missionary Radio. And thanks for being with us this morning.
Well, we're going to be talking about churches and finances and things of that nature. And I preached on it yesterday, but there was something I told Joe after we got done with the sermon. I really want to dive back into that here today because there's a whole area of this that I was not able to touch on in the sermon because it didn't lend itself to the point we were trying to drive home. But I just love the fact that we're talking about ChatGTP off air and the theological implications of what occurs with AI. And then Brian has to say, are you guys ready?
Are you ready?
We're just so wrapped
up. You just installed into it.
So thus the 3 or 4 seconds of dead air there.
That's exactly right. That's us having really good conversations, and I'm glad you get to join us. So anyway, we're going to be talking today about finances and ministry. And when I say ministry, I'm talking about all ministry. So it's finances and ministry, not simply church, but finances and ministry. And the passage we're going to use as our starting point of reference is going to be over in John chapter 2, where Jesus cleanses the temple. And basically, for the sake of time, because there's a lot to cover, it says there, beginning in verse 13, that the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went to Jerusalem. Now, that's an important phrase, because the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus goes to Jerusalem. That sounds like Easter, but there are many who believe that this is actually one of the first Passovers of Jesus' ministry. Remember, mm-hmm. Jesus ministered for about 3.5 years, mm-hmm. so there's multiple Passovers. Mm-hmm. And he has just, in chapter 2, recorded turning water into wine.
Yeah.
And so the cleansing of the temple that we're going to see in chapter 2, many theologians believe is the first cleansing, and there's actually two cleansings. In other words, Jesus does it twice. And so there it says, the Passover of the Jews is at hand. Jesus goes to Jerusalem. He found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and money changers doing business. And so he makes a whip out of cords and he drives them out of the temple. Okay. And his statement is, take these things out of my father's house. It should not be a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that was what was written, zeal for your house has, the zeal for your house has the phrase I have here is eaten me up. And I don't think that's correct. That's New King James, but that doesn't sound right.
I think normally it's consumed me or consumed something of
me.
That nature.
Okay. Being ate up. That was something I didn't anticipate seeing. I grabbed a New King James on the shelf today when I was coming. So anyway, the first cleansing of the temple, Jesus is methodical, actually builds a whip. Mm-hmm. So he takes the time to build a whip and then goes in and he cleans out the temple. And one element that I didn't touch on at all yesterday, and I think it's important to take note of, they were doing all of this in the court of the Gentiles, mm-hmm. which is the place where the Gentiles could come to worship who were wanting to become, followers of God. They couldn't go into the Jewish court. They couldn't go past the Gentile court. The Gentile court was the only court for them. And so the Jews, they didn't have a problem with selling stuff in that court because it doesn't affect them. But Jesus is at the linchpin of history where the Gentiles are about to be brought into the house of God. They're about to be made able to come to the house of God without circumcision. Mm-hmm. They don't have to get Jewish to get the God of the Jews.
Sure.
Well, that's huge. And what it means is the guest bedroom, the area of the temple that's set aside for those people, mm-hmm. it's a mess. Mm-hmm. So he's cleaning it out in preparation for the Gentiles arriving, if you can think of it in that terms.
Yeah.
So when he looks at this, he says, don't make this a place of merchandise. And so we always take that and say, well, he just doesn't want us selling money or doing anything with money in the church. Yeah. And so we just say, well, and I know you probably have run into this, are you allowed to have record sales in the foyer of the sanctuary and on down the line?
Yes, okay. Yes.
And so that becomes the issue. And in truth, that's really not the focus.
Yeah.
But his point is, this is a place to prepare you for worship, and it's supposed to be open for those who I'm inviting to worship.
Sure.
The Father God.
Sure.
Now, that's the first cleansing. The second cleansing is actually found in the Synoptic Gospels. Joe, would you grab that there in Mark?
Yeah, this is in Mark 11, and it's right after Jesus, it's the day after his triumphal entry.
There you go.
Into Jerusalem. And starting at verse 12, the next day as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry, and he curses the fig tree, and then on reaching Jerusalem, entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables and the money changers and the benches of those selling doves and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers.
So again, you hear the phrasing all nations, right? Mm-hmm. So Jesus is preparing the guest room for the Gentiles. He's preparing the house of God for the Gentiles to be able to come. And what you find is that this is at the triumphal entry. Well, that's the end of Jesus' ministry. Mm-hmm. So the first one is the marriage of Cana in Galilee, the start of the ministry. This one is at the end of his ministry. So that means he cleaned it twice. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we talked about is the fact that, well, if you want to work on sanctification, sometimes you got to go back and re-weed the garden
where you've
weeded before.
There you go.
That stuff grows back. Mm-hmm. So all that aside, the focus of the passage has always been, and I don't know about y'all, but this is the way I always heard it growing up. Every preacher I ever heard, every Sunday school lesson I was ever given was, listen, we don't mix money and God's house. We just don't mix money with God's house. We have our tithes and we have our offerings, but you don't mix money with God's house. And yet, as I've grown up, I've seen churches with yard sales. I have seen mm-hmm. churches with bake sales. I've seen youth groups wanting to go on a mission trip. And so they will, you know, exchange money as folks donate, you know, this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. And the question always comes as a pastor, the folks in the church will come to you and ask the question, well, you know, if we go to Walmart and ask them for this, they'll probably give it to us. You want to do that?
Yeah.
You know, or if we were to have a yard sale, folks will donate at the yard sale. They won't just buy stuff. They'll donate money, and we can raise money quickly for missions. Mm-hmm. And all of those things sound so good. Well, lucrative, and it makes everybody say, well, I guess it'd be all right, and especially when everybody's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, high schools are doing it. Community groups are doing it.
Everybody's doing it.
And the church is just another community group, right? Mm-hmm. So it should be doing it too. Well, does this passage literally say you can't have money in the temple? No. What the passage literally says is that if you make the church look just like the world, then the people won't know the difference between walking into the presence of God and walking into the presence of the world.
Yeah.
You've got to have a separation between those two things. That's what Jesus is doing. The Gentiles couldn't get separate from the world. Think about it. If you're a Gentile believer and you're a follower of God, and we read about those in the New Testament, right? There were individuals who, like Roman soldiers, who were wanting to be followers of God. And so they could come to the Gentile court, and they could pray in the Gentile court. But as they're praying, there's some giant cow beside them mooing. And there's some sheep that's bleeding, and people are, you know, haggling over exchange rates while he's trying to focus his mind and his heart on God. Mm-hmm. Not only that, but the outer court was actually where the Jews were supposed to begin their preparation for worship. If you read in the Psalms, it says, hey, you know, I lift up my eyes and I just want to be at the gates of the house of God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the idea at the gates of the house of God, your heart's supposed to be lifting up towards God. Well, it's not, because you're so focused on, well, you know, the money that's being around you. So creating a marketplace in this situation left no distinction between the temple and the world, okay? And so because of that, Jesus said, I've got a clean house.
Yeah,
I can't have that.
I think there's an added element here, too, as Jesus said in Mark, you've made it a den of robbers.
Yeah.
It was not just honest.
That's right.
Honest marketplace there.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
It was, they were crooks. They were
making
hand over fist.
Sure.
To exchange, you know, exchange money for regular money, for temple money.
Right.
Or you want to buy sacrifices from us? Well, Yours is no good, one you brought.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that. It's got a flaw on it.
Right.
You got to bring a flawless one. And we'll sell you one.
That's right.
For a price.
Uh-huh.
And you talk about inflation now.
Well, okay, so let's step on some toes. If you were to look at most of the merchandising for Christianity right now, If you want to get the really cheap plastic Jesus loves you whatevers, bracelets, necklaces.
I think one of the most popular things right now is the little Jesuses.
The little Jesuses, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yep. I saw those being handed out the other day at our church.
Yeah.
And so, but where are they being made? Well, some of them, I will venture to say, are being made with child labor somewhere in China.
Very
because
true.
A lot of it comes over from the East.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is that where we should be pulling our merchandise? Well, but it's cheaper there than having to buy it from wherever, right?
Yeah.
So we're saving God's money.
Yeah.
Being good stewards.
Being good stewards,
being good
right?
Stewards.
But are we being good witnesses? And so these are some of the questions we're going to wrestle with today. But right now, we're going to hear from some folks who really give wonderfully to this station. And so we're going to hear from Pen from the Heart.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Clarksville, thank you so much for your continued ministries that we need so much in the world today. From a Madisonville listener, God bless you and continue your work for him. And from Hopkinsville, I want you all to know how much I appreciate Missionary Radio praying for you. And also from Clarksville, thank you for all you do.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
Well, we've started off Monday talking about money.
No, I love it.
Oh, isn't it exciting? Isn't it exciting? So yesterday we talked about the cleansing of the temple. And one of the things that we dove into was that the churches have used this passage for years, and I mean decades, to say, well, you can't have record sales, CD sales from quartets in the foyer. You can't sell T-shirts, you know, at the church, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And that's actually nothing to do with this passage.
Yeah.
The fact that they were selling things and exchanging money, and some of them were a little dirty in the process, actually doesn't create a rule or law that says you can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
What Jesus was doing was he was clearing out a space for the Gentiles to come. This is happening in a time when he's about to invite the Gentiles into the house of God without having to become a Jew first. That's huge. The second piece is that he is trying to move it to a place to where the folks who come in are not interrupted from making preparation for worship. In other words, whatever you do in your foyer, it's not about money. It's about, are you making preparation for worship? And so it's a much larger concept than just, do you have cows that you happen to be selling in the front of the church? Okay?
Yeah.
The real issue is, are you preparing every individual that comes into the church for worship? Not just to have a good time together, not just to have a good fellowship together, but are you preparing them to meet God? That's the goal. And so this goes into the concept of greeters. It goes into the concept of how you manicure your church yard. It goes into how you hand out your bulletins or don't hand out your bulletins, how you put things on a screen or don't put on a screen. You think through all of those things, and with every thought that you're saying, well, I think we ought to do this or that, ask yourself, is this going to help prepare them for worship?
Mm-hmm.
Will this move them towards worship? And I'm not going, I don't have time to get into coffee bars in churches, but I will say this. If some people come into church, like I come into work, they're going to need some coffee because that might prepare them. Caffeine will wake you up. And if that will wake you up to hear the message better, then I don't see a problem necessarily with having that. I have my Dr. Pepper here. You guys know every Monday I come in, I carry a Dr. Pepper in with me. It's a Dr. Pepper Zero. I'm getting better, but it's a Dr. Pepper Zero. But
we should have some of those in the coffee bar.
That's exactly right. Well, if you're a godly person, you should. Yes, absolutely. So anyway, the idea is that, you know, anything you're doing, is it preparing them for worship? When coffee bars were first initiated, oh, I'm going off on coffee bars. I need to stop. Okay, there's so many things. I was telling the guys off air. There's so much here that I'm not going to be able to get it all in an hour. So let's start talking about the concept of trying to take what Jesus did in the temple and connect it to the church, because the temple's not the church, and we need to be clear about that. In the New Testament, we were told you are the temple of God, or you're being built into the temple of God. And when Paul stated that, what he said was that the beings, the humans, the people, that's the temple of God, not the structure, not the building. In the Old Testament, the building is the temple of God, and that's a vast difference. So in the temple of God, there's a physical manifestation of the presence of God, Shekinah glory, the Holy of Holies. In the church, there isn't. Now, some churches have things that they consider to be kind of like the Holy of Holies. Mm-hmm. They tried to model the church on the temple and so on and so forth. But the truth is, if you look in the New Testament, those kind of structures don't exist. What exists are the people. Mm-hmm. And the people who love God, as they gather together to worship God, they become the church, they become the temple. So it's not about the structure, it's about the people. So let's get our definitions right. There is the temple, there is the church, or you could even say ecclesia, the gathering, all right? Mm-hmm. In New England, they would call it the meeting hall, okay?
Yeah.
And so it's the place where you gathered to worship God. And then you go from temple, church, and then parachurch. Nowadays, we have organizations that are not the temple, not the church, but they're parachurch, para meaning alongside of. So it means they come alongside of the church. Mm-hmm. And so Missionary Radio is one of those organizations. You guys are not the church. You don't pretend to be the church. You don't say that you're the church.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so you do not work in the same way that the church does. True. So how does Missionary Radio receive funding versus how the church receives funding versus the way that the temple received funding? Well, the temple received funding in Old Testament law based on the sacrifices that were being given. So in other words, their tithes and offerings. When they said tithes and offerings, offerings were not necessarily optional. Yeah, the offering for sin, the burnt sacrifices, those were not options. That's what every worshiper came. That's the way they worshiped.
Yeah.
They didn't spend time in a lot of praise and worship music. They spent time literally cutting throats on animals and putting them on altars.
Yeah.
That's what they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so
just read through Leviticus, for instance.
Oh my gosh. So when you and I look at the temple and we say, well, you know, our worship is like that of the temple, it's a far cry from where they were. And the reason is because, again, the physical manifestation of God, the Shekinah glory, was there. For us in the church, there's a gathering. And the gathering could be anywhere. It can be in a hardware store.
Sure.
It can be in a old colonial church with a steeple on it, right? It can be in a school system.
Yeah.
But the gathering is the church. And because of that, Jesus says, where two or three are gathered, I'm in their midst. There's no Shekinah glory if the people aren't in the building. Think about that. In the Old Testament, there was. In the New Testament, there isn't. So what does that mean then? Well, Jesus cleaned out the temple because that was the physical manifestation of God and so on. In the church, he's not cleaning out something. And here's the illustration I would use. If you've got a church that's meeting in a hardware store, are you going to tell the hardware store they can't exchange money for tools through the week? No.
No.
But would you exchange money for tools on the day that you're doing worship? Well, no.
Mm-mm.
You would stop what you're doing, because as the believers gather and the church comes into existence and the presence of God is now there, then the concept of trying to do the marketplace stuff, that has to be put aside. Now, temple, church, those are all based on tithes and offerings. So if you're going to a church or you're going to the temple, we tithe. Mm-hmm. We tithe, we give of our incomes to help provide for the church. And I'm going to say something here, we'll talk about more on the other side of Johnny, but listen very carefully. If your church is operating on the fundraisers, mm-hmm. then your church is not operating as the way God intended. Yeah. God intended for the church to operate on tithes and offerings. That's why we have a church budget. We can do what God allows us to do when the people of God give as God commands. When the people of God don't give, then we don't get to do what God's asking us to do.
That's right.
And we reap the whirlwind from his chastisement. But you have the temple, the church, tithes and offerings. Parachurch, no tithes and offerings. Yeah. There is nothing in the New Testament that talks about tithes and offerings for the parachurch, because the parachurch had not existed at that mm-hmm. time. Mm-hmm. So with the parachurch, they exist based on funding. So think of it this way. If my local body receives my tithes and offerings, and Joe's local body receives his tithes and offerings, and Brian's local body receives his tithes and offerings, then this radio station, which blesses Brian's church, Joe's church, mm-hmm. and my church, mm-hmm. they don't get any tithes and offerings. That means that they have to fundraise from all the local bodies
yeah. mm-hmm.
to be able to fund what it is that they do. And so I know a lot of times you hear fundraiser and you hear community organizations and everything else, and we lump the Christian ministries in the same place. That's not necessarily true. There's an eternal quality to what Christian ministries are doing. And so it changes it from a community gift to literally an eternal gift, but it's still not a church gift. So in my mind, and I'll explain more of this on the other side, parachurch organizations can fundraise all they want. You want to have a yard sale? I say, God bless you, go ahead.
Yeah.
You want to have a car wash? God bless you, go ahead. If you want to have the friendraiser that's going to be coming up, right?
In April.
Yeah. In April. You want to give the dates on that one?
I don't know.
Okay.
Off the top of my head.
All right. But the friendraiser's coming,
yeah.
and so there's going to be a fundraiser. God bless them. Go ahead. Give to these things, because there's no other mechanism by which God can continue this ministry. But this ministry is not the church.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give what you're supposed to give to your church. Give to this ministry what you want to give to this ministry to expand it in its outreach. And so the church needs to get out of the yard sale business. It needs to get out of the car wash business.
Yeah.
It needs to get out of these activities that say, hey, God told us to do something, so we're going to ask the world to fund it.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't ask the world. And in truth, you guys don't ask the world. Mm-hmm. You ask the local bodies of believers,
yes.
Would you help us do what we can do for the ministry of God. Now, there's a lot to unpack there. So join us on the other side of hearing from Johnny Erickson Tata when we dig into what it means to really give rightly to God.
Welcome to Johnny Erickson Tata Sharing Hope. Hi, I'm Shauna, and I can't wait for you to hear Johnny's story about Harley.
First, let me say that Harley is in prison. He's been incarcerated for many years. Assault with an armed weapon, robbery, drug charges, you name it. When he was out on the street, Harley got beat up pretty bad by a rival gang. A painful back injury was the result. It's one thing dealing with pain when you're out on the streets. There are always drugs to keep it under control. But in prison, Harley had to make do with the over-the-counter stuff he received in the prison clinic. Maybe it was his constant struggle with pain, or maybe it was just the confinement of four prison walls. But while incarcerated, Harley had a change of heart. It all started when he was accepted into our Wheels for the World Restoration program. That's where inmates volunteer their time to fix the used but serviceable wheelchairs we send them. Prisoners work hard to shine each chair, change the leather backing, put in new ball bearings, tighten the spokes, adjust foot pedals and armrests, all to make each pediatric an adult-sized wheelchair look like showroom new. Well, once Harley learned that the wheelchairs he was working on would one day be gifts for needy children with disabilities in poor countries, that so captured his imagination. And the neat thing is, as Harley put all his focus on his work and really concentrated on doing the best job possible, amazingly, his chronic pain did not seem to bother him. He even asked our Wheels for the World restoration supervisor if he could be allowed extra hours to work on our wheelchairs. The other inmates who were working on wheelchairs noticed this, and they also noticed Harley's careful attention to detail. Several of them even commented that Harley's tremendous work ethic puts everyone else to shame. What's more, the pain Harley experiences seems to pale in comparison with the value of his work, as well as the value of the gospel message behind each wheelchair. In fact, on the bottom of each wheelchair seat, Harley spray paints John 3:16, and he recites it to himself, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but have eternal life." Wow. No wonder Harley loves working on our wheelchairs for Wheels for the World. He wrote me saying, "Miss Johnny, when I fix up one of these pediatric wheelchairs and I know it's going to a kid somewhere in a third world country, it's my way of making up for all the messed up things I've done." Good for Harley. Good for Wheels for the World. And glory to God. Because Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28 says, quote, "Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their hands, so that they might have something to share with those in need." Isn't that a great verse? Because that's the impact Wheels for the World is having on thousands of prisoners across America who work in our Wheels restoration shops.
You can learn more about this amazing program by visiting johnnyradio.org today. You'll find a great video about Wheels for the World and a list of all of our upcoming trips. And hey, if you have a skill with tools, please pray about serving on a future Wheels for the World team as one of our seating mechanics. You'll make an eternal impact for Christ in a very real way. Go to johnnyradio.org and let us know how we can pray for you. Remember, that's johnnyradio.org.
Missionary Radio is a listener-supported and funded Christian radio station that has existed since 1981. That's over 43 years of faithful listeners such as yourself, believing in the power of radio as a medium of communication to broadcast the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ over the FM airwaves and online around the globe. We believed back in 1981 that the world needed King Jesus, and we firmly know and believe that we need him now more than ever. We would like to encourage you to call our unmanned phone line that is purposed to receive voicemails. All you have to do is dial 270-962-4055 and leave a voicemail of encouragement to help edify our listeners. Share a testimony of how listening to and supporting Missionary Radio has been a blessing to you all these years. Let us know what your favorite program or Christian artist is. We would love to hear from you. Just call 270-962-4055 to leave us an edifying and encouraging voicemail to share with old and new listeners alike.
24/7 Missionary Radio. All right, so we've been talking about money and Mondays, and we've been talking about money in the church. It's a touchy subject, and for years I was just told, you know, there's a law. It was all legalism. Mm-hmm. As long as you didn't write the check out to whoever it was for whatever merchandise it was in the sanctuary, then you're good to go. But there's actually a whole lot of biblical principles behind this process, and it has to do with our trust in God, and it's vital. So I'm gonna revisit what I just talked about before Johnny Erickson Tata. There is the temple, there's the church, and then there is the parachurch. The temple is the manifestation of God's presence on earth, Shekinah glory, Old Testament. It's all right there. Mm-hmm. The church is the spiritual manifestation of God's presence on earth. In other words, where two or three are gathered, I am in their midst. That's the church. We are the ecclesia. It's not a building. It's literally means called out ones. Those are people. And so the church is not the temple. Don't equate the two things. Secondly, or thirdly, the parachurch, para means alongside of, And that means that there are ministries that come alongside the church to support the church in the ministry that it does and supports the people of the church in the ministry they're doing, mm-hmm. which is missionary radio. You guys come on the air and you broadcast sermons, you broadcast music, and you encourage church people, but you are not the church. So you're true. Alongside of, you're parachurch.
And we'll be doing that on April the 8th through the 10th, by
there
the way.
There you go. Absolutely.
You confirm the dates.
There you go.
Yeah.
And that's important. It's important because if the fundraiser does not occur and if the fundraising does not occur, there are no tithes and offerings coming to the station. Mm-hmm. Now, in the church, there are tithes and offerings. And so because we have tithes and offerings, both in the temple and in the church, fundraising is really a biblical no-no. Yeah. Now, I know that's going to probably ruffle some feathers, and I understand
that.
And I just saw a text come in from Daryl Crawford, who I dearly love. I hope he agrees with me. I'll have to look in a minute to find out. But Joe, over in 1 Corinthians, I want you to read for me verses 1 and 2 of chapter 16. And I want you guys to hear when Paul says, hey, God's called us to engage something as church, where does he go? So go ahead and read that.
Now, about the collection for the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up, so that when I come, no collections will have to be made.
There you go. So, who did he call upon to help the poor in Jerusalem? Jerusalem was going to go through a famine, and they needed food. Well, mm-hmm. that's a big deal. So, hey, I think we need to have us a yard sale and get some money for them. That's not what Paul does. He goes to the churches and he says, from your coffers, your tithes and offerings, your budgets, from your people, collect the money. Don't go into the community. Don't try to sell something. Don't merchandise. But from your coffers, draw up what it is that we can bring to Jerusalem. And here's the thing, we believe God provides. If God provides, then it'll be enough. If God doesn't provide, then maybe God didn't want it done. Mm. And I'm going to pair that with another passage that seems way out of line with what Joe just read, because we're going to go from New Testament to Old Testament.
All right.
But I want us to have a feeling of how powerful this is in ministry. So over there in the book of Ezra, there in chapter 8, Ezra is getting ready to go with the people with all this stuff for the temple of God that's being rebuilt. And they got a lot of stuff. They got a lot of gold. They got a lot of silver. They got a lot of articles that are going to go in the temple. They got a lot of money. And they're carrying it on a trip. And mm-hmm. it's different than traveling today where relative safety on our roads. Mm-hmm. They have to think about bandits, highwaymen, you know, guys who will rob them and kill them. Mm-hmm. And so Ezra's worried, but here's what Ezra says. He says, I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ava that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. For I was ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy on the road. Because we had spoken to the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all those for good who seek him, but his power and his wrath are against all those who forsake him. And so we fasted and entreated our God for this, and he answered our prayers. Ezra says, I can't go to the king and tell him, hey, can you give me some soldiers and some horsemen? By the way, the king would have done it.
Yeah.
He was willing, and there are so many community organizations in our city and in our counties, and if you go to, you know, Walmart, they have so much they've already designated. This is going to be used for community events, right? We'll go and ask, hey, can you give us a break on meat, you know, for this, that, and the other?
Sure.
I say, we will. We don't. I won't. And the reason is this, because if God can provide, then trust he'll provide. If God doesn't provide, maybe God doesn't want this done. And so maybe the issue is not going and doing the yard sale or car wash. It's not going to the Walmart and saying, hey, can you give us a deal? Maybe the issue is we need to get before God and start praying and fasting and saying, Lord, provide what is needed for this. Mm-hmm. And folks, I'm going to tell you, this is really cutting close to home for us because Joe knows this. We're looking at our second phase of building. Mm-hmm. And I looked at the second phase of building and thought, yeah, if God ain't in it, it ain't going. Ain't nothing happening.
Yeah. Mm.
Because, listen, you're not going to see my church having a yard sale to raise funds for
an addition or whatever.
Some addition.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we don't do that for mission trips. We don't do that for our youth group. And this is what I've learned, and I'm going to say this because it's from my personal experience. When you do this the right way, okay, and the right way is tithes and offerings for your church. Yeah. If you want to fundraise, fundraise inside your church. You want a bake sale? Do a bake sale with your own people. Do a yard sale with your own goods, and then just give the money to the church. Yeah. But do so in a way that you're not trying to ask the world to help you do something God's called you to do.
Yeah.
That's not biblical. There's yeah. nothing in Scripture that talks about it.
Yeah.
And so when we do this, what happens is God provides. So two illustrations. One, when I was in a church in Northern Kentucky, we would not take any money for the things that we would do out in the community. We'd do mm-hmm. a block party and other things like that, and folks would come up and we'd say, you know, hey, here's a free hot dog, here's a free, you know, sure. Pork sandwich or whatever, and we would just give stuff away, constantly give stuff away, and it would never ever cease to amaze me how many people would come up and say, listen, I know you said you don't need money, but I just want to give you this. I just want you to have this.
Sure.
Now, listen, if somebody's going to place money in your hand and say, you know, I just feel like I want to do this, mm-hmm. then there are plenty of scriptures where kings said, hey, I'm gonna provide this.
Sure.
And the people said, okay. But we don't have scripture where the people go out and say to the king, hey, I want you to give me something here. I do some good for this world. Mm-hmm. You need to help me mm-hmm. out. Mm-hmm. That doesn't work. And I found that over and over again in Northern Kentucky. When we came here, we did a car wash at the church with our youth group.
Yeah.
And my youth minister told him exactly what I told him, and that is, we don't take money. This doesn't have a fee on it. There's no $5 for your car wash or anything
sure,
else.
Sure.
We're just doing this because we love Jesus and we love you. You would not believe the people who tipped unbelievable money to him. And he's like, we don't need the money. He's like, don't care. Take the money. And so they would hand him money
yeah.
just because they wanted to provide a blessing to him.
Sure.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. What that means is your witness is so strong, they couldn't help but respond.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ezra's right. When I have to go to the king to ask him to do what God said he would take care of, I should feel ashamed.
Yeah.
And I think that we would do well if we had a little more, well, respect for God's provision,
yeah.
understanding of my responsibility for as a tither and an offering giver, and an understanding of what my church is supposed to be about. The world wouldn't get so confused. We're not just a community organization.
Mm-hmm.
We are the people of God, and what God provides for, we can do. So today, as you guys are rolling out and you're thinking about Monday and money, I want to encourage you, think through how it is your church does its fundraising. And lastly, think about how you can help do the fundraising for parachurch organizations who don't have the church tithe, they don't have the church offering. How can you be a part of the ministries that do bless you? Have a great Monday.
All right. Thanks for listening to the Front Porch here on this Monday. And join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.